Praise God. You know, there's gonna come a time in your walk, I pray, if you don't faint, if you don't give up. If we don't give up, then the prize comes, amen? If the Bible says if we're faithful and if we don't faint. So, you know, I'm looking around this park. There's a lot of people that are fainting. It's the end times, guys. You don't stay plugged in to the body of Christ. If you think you're smarter than the devil, oh my goodness. I guess I'll talk to you when you finally get around to calling for counsel. Praise God. Listen, stay plugged in. There's going to come a time where you might be sick, you don't feel good, the kid's got a fever, whatever it is, and you're going to need to stay home. So on those other days that the devil tells you that you just don't feel like being here, come to church anyway. Don't let him have victory over you. Amen. You know, I think it never, ever hurts. I want to go over some things that are basic but deep. Thank you. Amen? Basic but deep. There are things that we forget on a daily basis because we're human, unfortunately. And we need to be reminded of in order to stay strong, in order to run the course, in order to stay focused, in order to not be swayed, in order to not be taken out, in order to not become a casualty. We have to remind ourselves of some things, and we have to stir ourselves up. The Bible says, stir yourselves up. You know, people come to the Lord for whatever reason. I don't care what reason they come to the Lord. They need God. They need rescued. They need a home. They need healing. Whatever they need, that's a good reason to come to God. God will use anything to get a hold of his children. But then he wants to teach us, and he wants to train us, and he wants us to go forward to teach other children. Amen? Anybody here besides me want to grow up in the things of God? Amen. It's really important not to stay stuck, you guys. God will let you go around the same old mountain over and over and over until you decide to, oh, Jesus, there I did it again. Believed the same lie, said the same stupid thing, reacted again. I got just sick and tired of looking foolish and being wrong. I got tired of having to apologize. Well, at least I was willing to apologize. A lot of people aren't even willing to apologize. They might figure out they're wrong, but they're too prideful to apologize. That'll keep you stuck too, by the way. So there's going to come a time in your walk, hopefully, where this isn't going to be so difficult. You know, if you are a toddler and you're just learning to walk, you're going to fall down, get bumps and bruises, maybe even some cuts on a trip to the ER. But eventually you're going to walk just fine. You're going to learn to run. You might even learn to play ice hockey. That's pretty far advanced from being a toddler. But it takes practice. Amen. Everybody say practice. Practice. Amen. So we're going to practice. Let's go to John 8:44. Thank you for the breeze. Praise God. So I'm going to give you the name of the teaching up front here. Pastor. You're welcome. They like that. The name of the teaching is Deny the Lie. Amen? It's up to us to recognize and deny the lie. Lies. Okay? So in John 8:44, it says, everybody can read it with me, please. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your heart you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who hears of God hears God's words. Therefore, if you do not hear, if you do not what?
Hear.
If you do not what?
Hear.
Okay, it doesn't say do not listen, right? if you do not hear, that because you are not of God. Okay, so there's areas in our life that we're just not hearing. You know, some of us have advanced in certain areas, some of us that have advanced in other areas. That's why we're the body of Christ. Amen. Nobody knows it all. Nobody has it all. God makes us to be dependent on Him. Pastor doesn't know it all. I don't know it all. Benny Hinn doesn't know it all. The Pope doesn't know it all. No one knows it all. Unless you're an I know it all. And that's just stinking pride. So we're going to learn to recognize first. You can't deny a lie if you don't recognize the lie first. Okay, so all lies come from where? Okay, all lies come from the devil. And the devil comes to do what? What is his purpose? Amen. Steal, kill, and destroy. And how is he going to do it? By being the father of all lies. He's going to steal by lying to you. He's going to steal by causing you, which you have a choice, by the way, to believe a lie so that you can agree with the lie, so that you can come in covenant with the lie, to touch and agree, to open the door to demonic activity in your life so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. And it really all starts with just a simple thought. Just a simple thought. So if you don't recognize the simple thought, which is a lie from the father of all lies, you can't discern and you can't deny. Amen? So it's really important for you to remember that we're dealing with living beings. The demons, the demonic realm, the satanic realm that we can't see, you need to start to see. You need to start to perceive beyond what your natural eyes can perceive. And the devil needs you to agree with him in order for him to do his works to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's important to remember that we're dealing with living beings. Don't take lightly those thoughts that come to your mind, which do not agree with God's word or God's love for others or for yourself, or agree with the character of Christ. Don't dismiss and take lightly those, what you think are little lies or what you don't ever even take notice, because they just grow. And that little snowflake turns into a snowball and it rolls down the hill and becomes a big snowball. And then pretty soon you got an avalanche and you're buried again. All from one stinking little snowflake. Amen. So just melt the snowflake when you recognize it as a lie and you avoid a whole avalanche. Amen. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3. So we're going to just go over some basics today. We're going to be reminded of the tactics of the enemy. We're going to be reminded that it's our job to fight. It's not my job to fight your demonic thoughts. It's not my job to fight my daughter's demonic thoughts, even if she's a kid. We all have to use our free will and the tools that God gives us to fight our own battles. Amen? It's not your wife's job. It's not your husband's job. It's your job. Amen? So let's go to Genesis 3, and we're going to remember where this all started, this mess. Praise God. You know what, you guys? When we were worshiping the Lord, I was so reminded how worth it this fight is. Oh, my God. We are so close to eternity. We are so close to going home. We just have to fight a little longer. We just have to fight a little harder. It's so worth it. Don't get caught up in, you know, getting upset about the fight. It's so worth it. Amen? Genesis 3. I can't see if I got tears in my eyes. Praise God. Thank you, Alyssa. Oh, thank you. Praise God. Okay, read it with me. We're reading Genesis 1. 3:1. Ha ha. One flesh. Glory. That was for you, honey. Okay. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They what? They knew that they were naked. Well, who told them that? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard a sound of the Lord walking in the garden. The Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Like he didn't know. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I have commanded you that you should not eat? Have you listened to the lie that God has commanded you not to listen to? Then the man said to the woman, Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So Adam's going to blame Eve. Eve's going to blame the serpent. Meanwhile, they're all cursed because they all had a part to play. Amen. So, you know, blaming your mother, blaming your father, blaming your husband, blaming your spouse, blaming your kid. You could try it if you want, but you're still cursed because you had a part to play. Amen. So it's up to us to not believe the lie. So in the beginning, there was no sin in the garden. Adam and Eve had it made. And Satan was not real happy with God's plan. Satan didn't like it that he had been taken out of God's presence. He didn't like it that he didn't have a position in the kingdom of God anymore. And now a position was given to man. Satan was not happy with man. Satan was not happy with God's plan. So he began to push and get his voice into the garden so that he could insinuate himself into God's plan. But the only way to get into God's plan was to get into the thoughts and the minds of God's children and to have them agree with the lies. And he just spoke subtle lies. He just changed the word of God just a little bit so that Eve would say, yeah, that's right. I want to be like God. Amen. Just a little subtle twist in God's word. And they didn't recognize it. So the devil's going to twist things through suggestions, accusations, and twisting of God's word. Amen. So let's go to Genesis. I just want to go to Genesis 3:3 again. It says, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So Eve was already adding to God's word because God already said, don't eat it. He didn't say, she's adding the words about touching it. So Satan's accusing God to Eve of holding back from his children. So I know that today sitting here, there's some people that have been wondering why God's holding things back from them. Why I can't have this. Why I can't have that. Why I can't go here. Why I can't go there. Why hasn't God moved me? Why don't I have that job? And so the devil's just going to speak lies to you so that you can start to not trust God and believe the lies and get moved out of position. Amen? So what we need to remember is that sin is a presence of evil. It's a presence of a living being. And the devil needs us to agree with the presence of evil in order for it to affect us. Amen? The presence of evil is all around us, you guys. I mean, it is really all around us. Thank God we can't see it. We would be freaked out all the time. And me, who really likes casting out devils, and the more fun, the better, I'm glad I can't see this stuff all the time. I wouldn't sleep at night either. I'd have the lights on. By the grace of God, we can't see this stuff, right? But, you know, we can hear it. So what are you going to do about it? That's a problem, right? We all have a problem. We hear the voice of the stranger. My question is, what are you going to do about it? You're going to succumb to it? You're going to fight it? Amen? We got to remember we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I want you to know, you are not sin. You are not the presence of evil. And sin is not you. You are not those thoughts, and those thoughts are not you. God made you in his image and likeness. He didn't make you to believe those thoughts. Amen. I want everyone to say, I am not sin, and sin is not me. How many times when you ask somebody who told you that, they said, I did. Oh, no, you didn't. I've had some lady who calls herself a prophetess come up and repent if she offended me and say, well, God just made me a rude person. I can't help it. I said, that's not you, oh prophetess. Yes, it is. I'm just rude. No, that's not what my Bible says. The Bible says that you're made in the image and likeness of God, and God's not rude. Hello. And if you can't even understand that, how can you call yourself a prophetess? Uh-oh. Amen? Let's go to James 1. I am not sin, and sin is not me. I do not have to believe that garbage that flies by my brain on a constant basis. I choose not to believe it. Do you know that you are in charge of your thought life? God gave that mind to you. It's up to you to weed the garden and take care of it. You are responsible for your thought life. Amen? So how do you know what's from God and what's not from God? People from prophetesses think that our prophetesses think they're rude. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to go to James 1, 13 through 15. And the word says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Okay, so lust is like a strong affinity towards something. So if a lie comes flying through your thoughts and you choose to grab onto it, that's because you like it. Hello. There's something in that thought. The devil's not stupid. It's no different than what he did with Eve. Eve liked that thought that she might be like God. So he's going to tell you something that you might like to hear, whether it's to puff you up or whatever it is, to blame, to blame your husband, to blame your wife, to justify your garbage. Amen. So you're being drawn away by these thoughts because the devil knows where to push your buttons and what you want to hear. Oh, God's not answering me. Oh, I'm going to have to live here forever. Oh, God's never going to send me a husband. Oh, God. Wah, wah, wah. So when I hear those thoughts coming out of people's mouths, and Pastor hears those thoughts coming out of people's mouths, I'm a little more mature, been fighting off the lies a little longer than you. So when I don't listen to that stuff and I shut you down, don't be offended. People want you to listen to all that garbage. It came from the devil. Okay, so the devil doesn't have ears. I'm not giving you mine. He needs to talk to someone. Devil doesn't have a mouth and you're giving him yours. I'm not listening. Pastor's not listening. And people that are spiritually mature and discerning and not soulish are not listening. Amen. So we're going to shut down the voice of the devil, even if it's coming out of you, because you already touched and agreed with the lie. But I'm not going to let your poop get on me, okay? Is everybody okay with that? So you have the right to tell your spouse or your child, oh no, sorry, I'm not touch and agree with that lie that you touch and agree with. I am a fluffy cloud. I shall not be moved by the voice of the stranger coming out your mouth. I am a fluffy cloud. I've been practicing fluffy cloud at home, and it works really good. You ought to try it. So the next time you want to react to somebody else's stuff, just take on the fluffy cloud mentality. And you could use it if you want. I'd like to hear everybody saying, I am a fluffy cloud. Praise God. My friend Elizabeth sometimes has to remind me that I am a fluffy cloud. You are a fluffy cloud. Oh, yeah, I'm a fluffy cloud. Praise God. Especially when the people that, okay, why does the devil use your child against you? Why does the devil use your mother against you or your spouse or your boss? Does anybody know? Because he can. Hello. Because they're yielded to that voice. So they bit the bait. But you don't have to bite the bait and like let it go down a chain reaction, man. You are a fluffy cloud. Just because they bit the bait doesn't mean you have to. Amen. Just stop it right there. Hallelujah. Did I tell you to go to John 3? Okay, well, go there then. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Oh, Wade is a fluffy cloud. Amen. So when you're at the cash register working and some customer reams you out, you are a fluffy cloud. He who commits sin is being used of Satan's kingdom at the moment. Amen. I mean, we're obviously not expressing God at the time. Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? We're sent now, I mean, we're his ambassadors, right? To destroy the works of the devil. Okay? We're called to what? We're called to battle. What are we battling? Not flesh and blood. We're battling thoughts a lot. I mean, more than probably anything, we're battling thoughts. Ooh. 1 John 3:8. Let's read 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man, God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Who has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. So, if you're yielding to the thoughts that are flying by, and then you begin to express them, you are in that moment being used of the dark kingdom. You are in that moment of the father, the devil. Okay, so now you got to choose to recognize, uh-oh. And how do you recognize when you're manifesting the dark kingdom? Fruit, maybe? So if you would quit trying to watch everybody else's fruit and learn to watch your own fruit and come swing back on over to the kingdom of light and repent, first of all, for expressing the dark kingdom. And you know what? It's okay to apologize. The first one to die wins. Everybody say that. The first one to die wins. It's not lost, guys. It's winning. Woohoo! The first one to apologize and repent wins. I teach that. And guess what? If you apologize and repent to your spouse and they just get all puffy like, yep, see, I knew I was right. They had to repent. That's their problem now. Now they're listening to the voice of the stranger, but you did your part. You're only responsible to apologize. If that makes them think they're all cocky and right, well, let them have at it. Let them see how that gets them anywhere. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're called to battle and to promote the kingdom of God by destroying the works of the enemy. And we have to start destroying the works of the enemy from the very time they enter our thoughts. The Bible says to cast down all thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. To cast down all thoughts that come in, that come against the knowledge of Christ. You're here to learn. You're here to grow. Nobody knows it all. But as time goes, as you learn to know the character of Christ according to his word, you'll be able to cast down those thoughts. They won't come out your mouth. You're going to repent and apologize. You're going to be the bigger man or woman. All right? First one to apologize and repent wins. I love it. I love dying like that. I don't care what other people think. I just won. Praise God. So, but how can you be used of the kingdom of light and battle and manifest the kingdom of light and overtake darkness if you're flirting with the kingdom of darkness? When you're flirting with those thoughts that you like, yeah, if it weren't for him, I'd be this, or if this didn't happen, I'd be that, or if my boss this, or if they that. If you're flirting with all those thoughts, how are you going to manifest the kingdom of light? Amen. Let's go to Matthew 15. Is everybody okay? So we're going to just put our mind more on the alert today. Amen. We're going to be watchmen of our minds. That's really important, you guys. Nobody else is going to watch your mind for you. They're not in there. You can't ask somebody who told you that. Okay, Matthew 15:10. Matthew 15:10. When he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, let's read it together, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. So now you've grabbed onto a thought. Now it flies out of your mouth. Now it defiles who? The person you're trying to beat up with your mouth? Or you? Okay, so I really like this analogy I heard one time. When you're just trying to spew all this stuff on people or you're holding somebody in unforgiveness, that's like taking poison and hoping that they die. It says it defiles you. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 4:11. So the Bible is telling us to hear and understand. So Lord, just please help us to hear this today and understand. It's what comes out of our mouth. So we don't have to listen to the devil's nonsense. We need to shut it down when it first gets to our minds. Amen? Is this helping anybody? that's been touching and agreeing with some dumb thoughts? Like maybe you might know what's better for you than your Heavenly Father? Hello? You want to choose your own cross or you want God to choose your cross for you? He knows better than we do. Okay, Ephesians 4:11. Boy, I got a new appreciation for a guy up here dealing with all the wind and trying to hold on to the microphone and all this stuff. Okay. Okay, let's read together Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints for what? For the equipping of the saints for what? Amen. So get equipped, would you already? We need some help. Praise God. Get equipped. Quit listening to the voice of the stranger. Let's move forward and advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. That includes your family, by the way. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that's maturity, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men who have heard from the devil that day, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So you can't grow up into all things until you've learned Christ. Amen. So what are we going to do about all this stuff that's flying through the atmosphere, these lies that are being whispered into our head? Cast them down. Amen. 1 Peter 2:1. Because we're going to grow up, we're going to equip other people, we're going to be used for the kingdom. All of us. Because you're being equipped, amen? 1 Peter 2:1 says, okay, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Now, wait a minute. How can you lay aside any of those things if you don't monitor your own thought life? If you don't guard the gates of your mind? If you don't ask yourself on a constant basis, who told me that? Amen? Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews 5:12. I congratulate all you guys for getting here. Anybody have a struggle to get here today? Other than me? Hallelujah! We made it, didn't we? Praise God. We cast down the thoughts and imaginations. Woohoo! Recognize that. You had a victory this morning casting down the thoughts and imaginations, and you got here. There are a lot of empty seats here today. They didn't get the victory this morning. They bit the bait. Amen? Praise God. Hebrews 5:12. Oh my gosh, it's breezy out today. Thank you, Jesus. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Wow, that is an awesome, awesome scripture. First of all, you don't have to beat yourself up that you haven't arrived yet because it says that we're unskilled. You know, you don't get all pumped up the first time you go to the gym and start lifting some weight. Amen. You have to grow. You have to persist. You have to be consistent. You have to stay in the Word. But if you are still being swayed by those thoughts and being moved out of position and blaming and justifying, you are an unskilled babe. Just telling you. And I'm just telling you for your protection, because if you think, I love the teenager analogy. Raise your hand if you have teenagers or have ever had teenagers. Have you ever been a teenager? Okay, more hands. Okay. You got some almost teenagers? Teenagers. Nice, Mom. Teenagers think they know everything. Teenagers don't need their parents. Teenagers don't need counsel. You think if there weren't a legal driving age, that teenagers might like be driving when they're 12? If it were up to them? Think that might be safe? Do you think that teenagers might know how to eat vegetables? Do you think teenagers might do anything that's good for them? No. The difference between maturity and immaturity is immature people do what they want to do, and mature people do what they're supposed to do. So if you're doing what you want to do and what you're not what you're supposed to do according to the Word of God, then you are an immature babe. But it says you can desire the milk of the Word. There's hope for you. Amen? We've all come from that place. We've all been immature at one time. Amen? But the good news is there really is a place where you start automatically discerning. The Word of God becomes automatic in you. The thoughts that fly by are automatically cast down. You know better than to judge. You know better than to shoot out with your mouth. You know better to believe the voice of the stranger. You know better than to judge somebody else's fruit instead of looking in the mirror. Anybody been trying to get a speck out of anybody's eye lately? Oh, ye babies. Take the plank out of your own eye first. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is anybody growing out there? Okay, so... Praise God. You still love me? Good. Holy Ghost whoopings are free. This is a mama lesson, isn't it? Sorry. Praise God. And so it says that our senses are unskilled, and we have to learn to discern both good and evil. We have to, in our thoughts, discern both good and evil. So if it's good, go ahead and say it. If it's evil, shut up. Amen? So, and if you're still a babe, if you're still a teenager, or now you know it all, you need counsel. You need help to make certain decisions, because in the multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. So come with a humble heart and ask. We're happy to help you. I'm going to tell some teenagers here that don't know any of these stories that there's been many people who think they're coming for counsel, so they come to the pastor and say, okay, pastor, I found an apartment, and I'm going to be moving over here, but I'm going to keep coming to church, and I'm going to stay plugged in, okay? Pastor say, okay. Did they come for counsel? No, they came for justification. They came to be patted on the head that their plan that they moved God into, because they didn't like God's plan, and to get you to agree with it. So I just want you to know that if you choose to do that, we're going to say, okay. Well, God told me to marry this person. Okay. Have a good time. Will you marry us? I don't think so. But okay. So then they come later crying, or they go to their friends you cannot believe how many times people go and say, but Pastor blessed us. We went for counsel and he blessed us. No, you didn't come for counsel. You came to tell us what you were going to do. And we said, okay, you already made up your mind. You got a free will. God doesn't come against your free will. We're not going to come against your free will either. So if you want to come for some humble counsel and learn and grow and take the advice of a spiritual parent who has become skilled, come on. If you want to come and tell us what you're going to do, you can come, but we're just going to tell you. Okay. So we'll see you after you jog around that mountain, okay? Praise God. Okay. Anyway, what I'm getting to is that the Word of God is magnified above the name of Jesus. Everybody say that. The Word of God is above the name of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So God came to earth for a very short season, 33 years, and in that short season, his name was Jesus. Okay? But Jesus is just the name of the Word of God while he was on this earth. So if you, as a babe, or as a lazy Christian, want to run around and try to use the name of Jesus instead of knowing and becoming compliant and obedient to the Word of God, it doesn't work. You can't use the name of Jesus as some magic wand and then be out of harmony with God's Word. You're coming against God's Word. Now you're using God instead of obeying God. Okay, so in order to become mature, in order to become skilled, in order to discern good from evil and be able to cast down those thoughts, you have to know the Word of God. And you're here, and that's great, and you're being taught, but you have to put into practice what you're being taught. This is only the beginning, guys. It's not over till we go home. And the Word of God is the character of Christ. How do I discern when a thought that flies through my head is from God or not from God? So that I speak it or don't speak it. How do I know that? Because if it's not the character of Christ, if it's not love, if it's in condemnation and judging or any one of those other negative fruits, I know because I know the Word enough to know that's not the character of Christ. Why would I speak it out of my mouth? Why would not trusting God with my future or where I live or what my job is or who I'm going to marry one day or could God possibly send me a husband or what my finances are? That's not the character of Christ to speak all those things. I don't want to curse myself. I don't want to be held back. I want to go forward. Amen. So we need to learn the Word of God for ourselves. And what we're taught here, we need to not just in our head, but digest it. Take it home. Chew on it, man. Eat it. What you eat is what you become. And if you guys are still being swayed by every stinking thought that flies by, you're not doing something right. I don't care how long you've been here. And the more you cooperate with God and His Spirit, the quicker you're going to grow. Don't tell me I'm a graduate. Oh, God, don't tell me when I'm a graduate. I want to slap that devil, but your face is in my way. I'm a graduate. Man, you don't know nothing. Trust me, if you had graduated anything, God would move you so we could use the bed to graduate somebody else. I'm a graduate. You're a graduate. I'm not a graduate. Pastor's not a graduate. Say, I'm not a graduate. Hallelujah. So if you're still allowing all those thoughts to move you and use you in your own home against your own family, don't tell me that you know anything and don't tell me what kind of a Christian you are. Matter of fact, just be quiet and get in the Word. Holy Ghost whippings are free, and I love y'all. Right, Lissa? Right. Okay, so So we're not going to just use the name of Jesus and use God to have our own way. We're going to comply with the Word of God. We can't comply with the Word of God till we know the Word of God. And so start asking for milk and meat. And in Ephesians 6:10, it says that we have to stand against the wiles of the devil. Guys, those thoughts are the wiles of the devil. Amen? You're not going to see some devil stand up in front of you so that you know that he's there. You're going to have to learn to discern the good from the evil flying through your brain and stand against it. Amen? The battlefield's in the mind. You don't wrestle flesh and blood. Satan's kingdom speaks lies. He's the father of all lies. He's going to speak lies to you on a constant basis. Amen? And so what do we fight him with? The only thing we can fight him with is the truth of the word, not the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. That's all nice and good if you're a baby. But when you're mature, too much is given, as much is expected. Jesus fought the devil with the word of God, and you better do the same. No, devil, I'm not going to believe that thought that doesn't line up with the word. No, devil, I'm not going to come against my spouse and judge her or him. That doesn't line up with the word. No, devil, I am not going to rebel against my parent. That doesn't line up with the word. You have to stand up against those thoughts. Amen? And we really have to start to know who we are in Christ. Guy's been talking a lot about the Antichrist lately. Antichrist equals anti-love. Write that down. God is love. So the spirit of Antichrist is anti-love. It comes to breach the relationship that you have with God. It comes to breach the relationship that you have with others. And it comes to breach the relationship you have with yourself. So if you think that you're all fuzzy and goosebumpy with God, and you have aught with your brothers and sisters or your spouse, you're lying to yourself. You're a liar. If you think you're all fuzzy and goosebumpy with God, oh, worshiping, and then you choose to believe all the lies about yourself that the devil tells you when you look in the mirror, oh, my God, I cannot tell you how many times I've cast out devils that have got into people when they look in the mirror, when the devil lies to them about themselves as they look in the mirror. I'm to this, I'm to that, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm fat, I'm skinny, I got pimples, And you start to believe that stuff about yourself and take that on instead of believing who God says you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are accepted in the beloved. You are the apple of God's eye. You are a warrior for Christ. But you can't do that unless you start monitoring, say, my own thought life. Please quit trying to monitor your spouse's thought life or your kid's thought life. You know what? All I can ask my kid is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to choose this or this? I can't tell her what to do anymore. She's 12 years old. I can make her decisions either pleasant or painful. I can make them very pleasant or very painful. But she really has to choose for herself. She's the age of accountability now. You know, we can have rules in the house for the discipleship house. Your parents can have rules for you in your house. But if you're of the age of accountability, you have to choose if you're going to obey them or not. And you're going to reap the consequences of if you don't. And we're not going to force you to comply with what this word says. You have to choose to comply with what the word says. Amen? You're not held here. Nobody has to stay in a certain church body. And when the truth gets real hard, they run. How many people do you know that are in some great big church so they don't have to hear stuff like you're hearing right now? Oh, guys, this is because we love you so much. I want you to know the freedom that I have. I don't know anybody that serves God with a full heart that would have chose the trials and the tribulations of servanthood. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody that's in a marriage, ordained of God or not, that would have chose to withstand the trials and the perfecting that comes through marriage. We're humans. We want to run. But I am telling you that if you will learn and you will stand and you will become mature, there comes this awesome place that you're satisfied and content no matter what. That you can be a fluffy cloud when all hell is coming against you. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a place that you know that none of this matters. If you ever find the perfect spouse, if you ever have the perfect job, if you ever have the perfect husband, if your spouse ever gets perfected, it doesn't matter. What matters, are you maturing? Are you growing? Are you being perfected? Are you getting to a place where you're not moved? We sang that song today, I will not be moved. We're going to make a song, I am a fluffy cloud. It's the same thing. I don't care what adversity comes against me. I'm not going to be moved. I discern those thoughts. And man, I know I'm going to get tested on this today. Hallelujah. Buckle up, guys. Buckle up. I'm going to be tested too. Oh man, I got tested before I came here. Woo! I got tested big time. I almost didn't come. Praise God. Okay, so we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to wrap up here. You know, in Genesis 4:6, it talks about Cain and Abel. And we know this story. It says that Cain killed Abel. And then Cain starts talking to God. And God says, no, I was before. Let's go there so I don't mess it up. Genesis 4:6. You have to be so careful what you agree with in your thought life. That's the beginning of everything. Just like Eve, it's the beginning of everything. In Genesis 4:6, so the Lord said to Cain, because his sacrifice wasn't accepted. You know, so if you're getting offended because it seems like everything's going right for everybody else and not for you. Cain came to the Lord and the Lord said, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will it not be accepted? If you do according to the word of God, will it not be accepted? But if you want to do it your own way like Cain did, sorry. And you know what? I discern and know enough to not agree with what God doesn't agree with. So I'm not going to agree with you. So it doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It just means that we're not going to agree with your poop. Neither God nor your spiritual authority are going to agree with that. And God's saying, why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Sin lies at the door. The presence of evil lies at the door. Its desire is to get you. But you should rule over it. Those thoughts lie at the door. And their desire is to get you, to steal, kill, and destroy. Because Satan's the father of all lies. But you should rule over those thoughts. Amen? That's what God was teaching Cain all the way back there. Amen? So when you find that you've agreed with something you shouldn't have agreed with, which we all do every day, what are you going to do? A, you got to judge your own fruit, right? A good indicator of your fruit is what comes out your mouth. Hello? And then you're going to repent. And if you want to practice humility, it might be nice to apologize. I would really like to see everybody go home and practice apology today. Y'all owe your spouses an apology for something. I'm telling you, you do. You all owe your parents an apology for something. Be humble enough to do it. Because sin lies at the door. That just shuts it down, man. You go and repent and apologize. I just shut that thing down. Amen? In the book of Galatians, we talk about this all the time, the works of the flesh. That is simply the manifestations of somebody that has agreed with the powers of darkness. Why does the devil use you? Why is the devil manifesting through your flesh? Because he can. Why can't he? Because you agreed. Okay? So, go to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. We're going to wind up. Is everybody, you know, this is just a reminder, guys. If we could follow this basic thing of monitoring our own thought life, it would solve 99.9% of our problems. And because you know what? When you agree with sin, I have a whole list here. If anybody wants to know any of them and their scripture, the backing for it, where they come from, spirit of jealousy, spirit of heaviness or depression, spirit of whoredom and divination, spirit of infirmity, spirit of unloving antichrist, lying spirits, spirit of fear. How did those things get in you? You agreed with the lie. Amen? So now you need to repent, go through deliverance, look in the mirror, cast the devil out yourself. Amen? Praise God. So where did I say we're going? Thank you. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. I'm not there. David, read it.
Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not laying against the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment.
Thank you. So it's saying, you know what? Let's get to the place where we don't have to repent constantly because we're screwing up so much. I got really sick of having to repent all the time and being wrong all the time, and I just decided to grow up. It's trying to move us on to perfection. Let's move on past repentance. Let's move on to perfection. Let's be raised up for the working of the ministry. Amen? Let's be used as the army of God so that when the people come in off the streets that are hurting and dying and going to hell, we can help them out. It's time, you guys. It's time. So let's just shed all that nonsense that we allow ourselves to agree with. If it comes against the word of God, it's a lie, plain and simple. If you're not trusting God in a situation, it's a lie, plain and simple. And you're not going to move forward until you learn to take dominion over your own thought life. Amen. Does the devil affect your thought life? Oh, yeah, until we go home. That's his modus operandi, or however you say that. That's how he works, man. Battlefield of the mind, okay? So praise God. Did I use 2 CDs this time? One. Praise God. Okay. All right, so praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, we just thank you and ask you to raise us up in your word of truth and your word of righteousness. Lord, I ask you to apply the blood of Jesus to this word and implant it in the fertile soils of our hearts, Lord God. Father, help us to live out of our hearts and not out of our minds. Lord, help us to discern good from evil. Help us to get past milk and onto the meat of your word, growing up and being grounded, Lord God. Help us to get past repentance and onto perfection, Father, that we can be used for your kingdom so that we can do battle that we've been called to do. And Lord, I just pray over your saints today. I thank you for everyone that showed up today, those that are listening by the internet, Father God. And I pray that this word just be imparted to them as truth and light, and that as we eat this light, that we supernaturally begin to guard our thought life. In Jesus' name. And prepare your hearts for communion.